That's an awesome, awesome hymn, and we will be revisiting that later. I invite you to retrieve from your pew rack, please, the program, the bulletin that you were handed on your way in. I think the collect for this Sunday is very appropriate for the message that we have for us this morning. I invite you all to pray this collect for Proper 23 together. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay. Got a question for you. How many of you have ever played Monopoly? Probably about 100% of us, right? Well, I have not played it lately, though. My grandson John says that he will not play Monopoly with me anymore because I always win. That's not 100% true, by the way. However, if you talk to him sometime, ask him about his games with his of Rummy with his grandma. Guess who wins? Monopoly, one of the most popular games in the world. There are at least 900 different game variations centering around TV shows such as I Love Lucy, movies like James Bond and Pirates of the Caribbean, all the sports teams, leagues, hockey, baseball, hockey, every branch of the military, various cities and nations throughout the world, and on it goes. More than 275 million games have been sold worldwide and is available in over 100 countries and in more than 40-some languages. And what is also interesting, thinking of the word Monopoly, what it means, Parker Brothers is the only producer of the game. They have a what? Monopoly. The longest Monopoly game in history lasted for 70 straight days. In 1978, a chocolate version of the game was priced at $600. Well, you can imagine, what, three times that now today? And the most expensive version of the game is valued at more than $2 million. The set features a 23-karat gold board with diamond-studded dice. I wonder what the hotels are made of. However, there is something worth noting here. Monopoly totally runs against the teachings of Jesus. The basic premise of Monopoly is to acquire sufficient wealth so as to place all opponents into bankruptcy. Not the most Christian principled game. A version of scriptures I memorized when in junior high school is the King James Version of Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, upon earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This verse has been a foundational piece of scripture that shaped my values throughout my life. And considering where we, this body of Christ known as St. Bartholomew, currently is on our walk with the Lord, adjusting to a new vision and a new attitude of mission, it is appropriate to take a brief look at these words of Jesus. And if you wish to follow along with me, I welcome to do so by turning to page 962 in a Pew Bible, 962. Earlier, I quoted the above passage from the King James Version. And we will now be reading from the New American Standard, also known as the Rock of Scripture. And verse 19 begins with these words, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." Do not store up. The King James says, do not lay up. What does it mean when we store up things? Well, for the ancients, it meant to erect a place where what is most valuable can be kept, which for them was, you know, gold, silver, the usual, gemstones, oil, grain, and so forth. Just to name a few. One stores up, one lays up, sets aside that which is in abundance of value. In the last 20 years or so, an entire business empire has been established in the storage shed business. You know, run out of room in your house and run out of room in your garage? No problem. Go down the street, we'll run a storage shed, put more in there. To gain, to accumulate, to hoard material possessions requires an intense focus, a persistence in pursuit, which results in a mindset of even greed, even may be considered as idol worship. And what is the folly? What is the foolishness of such a mindset of an excessive accumulation of material wealth? It is purely temporal. It produces a false sense of security. You know, the ancient Egyptians believed that when they died, burial with their valuable possessions will provide enjoyment after death. Well, we know that when we leave this planet, all hoarding is for naught. For we cannot take accumulated wealth with us. You know, there's a proverb that says, we brought nothing into this world, and most certainly we're what? Not going to take anything out of it. A Spanish proverb states there are no pockets in a shroud. Now, Jesus shares with us not to hoard. So what does he state? He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break through and steal. Much of what we value is subject to destructive elements in this life and this sinful world. Jesus stated that we're not to store, we're not to collect, we're not to acquire treasures on earth where moths destroy. In the time of Jesus, wealth was expressed through fine clothes, is one thing. But when stored away, these fine woolen clothes are extremely susceptible to what? Moths. Remember cedar chests? Remember what you put in garment bags? Mothballs? I remember the smell. Yes. Metaphorically, moths are commonly viewed as destroyers of the most basic things in life, which means there's no permanence. Rust is another consuming destructive force. The Greek term for rust means eaten away and is only used in this context of Matthew and also in Luke. Rust appears not only in metals. We think about how our cars rust away and so forth. Rust appears not only in metals, but also in crops and vines. Ever see rust on a leaf of a lettuce, of a head of lettuce? I've seen people at the counter will take a leaf of lettuce off and see the rust inside. They'll throw it back on the shelf. One measure of a man's wealth was by the amount of grain and corn stored in huge barns. But into that grain and corn would come worms, mice, and rats, and polluting and destroying what was stored. Another form of rust, eaten away. Jesus is pointing out the fact that such wealth has no permanence, a false sense of security. Jesus stated that we're not to store up treasures where thieves break through and steal. You got to remember that houses back in Jesus' time were made of baked clay. And it was nothing to punch a hole in a wall, just walk through and take whatever you wanted. Of course, many houses never had doors, so you just walk through the house and at that. But you get the idea. Again, evidence of no permanency. So Jesus warns us about placing high value on earthly treasures that can be eaten, that can be eroded, that can be destroyed, can be stolen. No earthly thing lasts forever. A wise man would build his treasures on things that cannot be eaten away or stolen, treasures that he cannot lose. Okay, so what are those treasures we cannot lose? Jesus stated that we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. The ancient Jews were quite familiar with the phrase treasures in heaven, for storing up good works before God was prominent in the history of Israel. They believed that deeds and kindnesses which a man did upon earth became his treasure in heaven. Now you know why I invited you to pray that collect once again. The contrast of treasures on earth with treasures in heaven implies a contrast of values. Jewish rabbis taught that what was selfishly hoarded, what was selfishly stored up, is lost. But that which is generously given away brings treasures in heaven. Rabbi Yose ben Kaisman stated, "In the hour of a man's departure, neither silver nor gold nor precious stones accompany him, but only his knowledge of the law and his good works." Jesus concluded his teaching by stating that where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. The heart. The heart represents the core of a person's being. It is a causative source of a person's spiritual, emotional, and psychological life. Wherever the focus lies, wherever, whatever occupies our thoughts, whatever occupies our time, becomes our treasure. And there, where our treasure is, our heart truly lies. What a person values is driven by the nature of that person's heart. The heart will be with what is treasured, and what is treasured controls us. Our first loyalty ought to be laying up for ourselves eternal treasures, and the greatest treasure in heaven is the Father. If we as followers of Christ keep our hearts fully focused if on the Father in heaven, then all other treasures of this world will pale in comparison. Laying up treasures in heaven does not just mean tithing one's wealth. Laying up treasures in heaven is accomplished by bringing others to Christ, those good works. And the words of Jesus are also meant for the corporate body as well, not just you and I individually, but for the corporate body as well. The treasure of a church's success is not measured by how many are in Sunday church, but more importantly is measured by the success it has in bringing others to Christ. The heavenly treasure is the eternal value of what is accomplished for God in our allotted time. From James, we learn that faith, we all know this, we learn from James that faith without works, without fruit of that faith, faith without works is what? There's got to be 100 here, and I heard 4 voices. Faith without works is what? Dead. All acts of obedience to God are not susceptible to moths, to rust, or to thieves. Nothing can affect heavenly treasures or change them. They are permanent, eternal, acceptable to God. So it all boils down to a matter of one's attitude towards earthly wealth and possessions. Do they have a greater priority than those of eternal values? Most of us are quite familiar with the Great Commission as stated in Matthew 28:19. Well, Luke narrows that focus of that command with these words from his Gospel, chapter 24, verses 46 and 7. And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." My brothers and sisters in the Lord, Luke just gave us the good news of the gospel in just a very few words. Gave us our mission. Gave us our purpose for identifying ourselves as Christians. The debt of sin has been paid by Jesus on Calvary. And we are to proclaim repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus. That's our mission. To share the forgiving love of Jesus. To open eyes, to turn others from darkness, from the power of Satan, to the light of Christ. During the summer, I used a tape to illustrate a point in the homily at that time. I brought it back. And I need four volunteers as I did before. I need four. Come on. Come on down. That's one. I need three more. It's light. This is not heavy. It's flexible, and that's why I need the help. I need three more, please. Three more. Okay. John was here the last time. Okay. Two more. Come on. I need you two more. All I need you to do is just to stand here. Okay. Not perform.
I can do that.
Bashful, aren't they? Okay. Can you maybe. Okay. Here comes Lorianne. All right. You're going to be the anchor man, so I'm going to put you down here. Okay. All right. I'm going to put this rose between two thorns, okay?
I know how to do this.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Now, wait a minute, John. We have another person here. Okay. Would you please? Thank you very much. Okay. Good. Please. Thank you. All right. Now, we are at church at the beginning of the week. This is going to be the first week. Oh, by the way, I forgot what to tell you what this all represents. An inch on the tape represents 1 hour of a day. Okay, so 24 hours in a day times 7. Quick, how many? Quick. 168, okay? So we have 168 inches over there. All right? So we, in the week, we came to a 11 o'clock service. So right now, at the beginning of the week, we are at this point. Now, all of us need sleep. We need rest. And so based upon the fact that most of us, you know, we need about 8 hours of sleep a night, so 8 hours times 7 days, what? 56, right? Okay, there's a bean counter over there. All right. So, okay, real quick. 168 minus 56? Yes, 112. Yes, right on. Okay. So, this is at the 112. Thank you very much, sir. Your help is so much appreciated. Okay, now. So most of us who are retired, and some of us are more retired than others, but need about 8 hours sleep a night. So that leaves us approximately 112 hours of the week, or above 5 days, that we more or less have to manipulate according to our own lifestyle. Okay? That's breakfast, lunch, supper, you know, shopping, whatever you have to do, doctor's appointments, those kinds of things, okay? Now, some of us are still working steps and, you know, Blue Monday. We have to get up on Blue Monday, okay? So figure you eight hours a day, usually is a typical work week, times five, no, that's easy, right? 40, right? Okay? And, okay, so 40 from 112, quick, 72, okay? So, 72, let's see where we can find 72 here. Okay, here we go. So, if we include those who work as well as those who sleep. Hi, sweetheart. Yeah, hi. We've got basically 72 hours of the week that we have at our disposal to do as we need to do or want to do, whatever the case may be. So whether you have the 72-hour block, by the way, that's 3 days. That's 3 days. If you have the 112-hour block to play with, that's almost 5 days. Let me ask this question to you. In those 5 days or in those 3 days, where's your heart? What treasures are you laying up in those 3 days or 5 days? Are there treasures there that you're laying up in heaven? There's a lot of time there. There's a lot of time. The problem is for many of us, I'm not saying for all, but there are those who have a mindset that being here at this hour of the week is building up treasures in heaven. Oh, 1 hour of 168? Is the Lord happy with that? What's the purpose for being here this morning? What is our purpose? We are taught, right? We're taught the word. We're also fed, right? Soon we're going to be fed. Why?
Recharge.
Exactly. To recharge to do what? So now you got a full battery. So what are you going to do with it?
Go out.
Okay, now you're beginning to understand the point. We're here this morning to be fed, to be taught to do what? To go into the world and lay up treasures in heaven by doing what? Bringing others to Christ. At this point in time, I invite you to take out your bulletins once again, your program once again. I invite you to turn to the Parish Life page. And I invite you to read the mission statement with me, please. Our mission, you and I, individually and corporately, that is as a body of Christ, our mission is what? To share Christ's love and His word with our community and the world through Christ-centered outreach, worship, prayer, and biblical study. If you participate in the fulfillment of this mission statement, you will be laying up for yourself treasures in heaven where nothing can destroy it, neither moss, rust, or thieves. Nothing can take it away from you by participating in the fulfillment of this mission statement. I know we sang Come Labor On last week, Sunday. When I participated in the singing of that hymn, wow, how powerful is the text of that hymn. And I asked Terry and I asked Father Ward if we could do that hymn once again, and we did. But I invite you right now, if we could please have 541 up again, to stand, if you would please, to stand. And together, let us, I would say pray, let us together say the text of this hymn, concentrating on the words, please. Concentrate on what those words mean. Ready? Okay. Come, labor on. Who dares stand idle on the harvest plain, while all around us waves of golden grain? And to each servant does the Master say, go work today. Come, labor on. The enemy is watching to sow the tares and snatch the seed away. While we in sleep and our duty have forgot, he was not. Oh, come labor on, away with gloomy doubts and faithless fear. No arm so weak but may do service here. By feeblest agents our God fulfill his righteous will. Come labor on, claim the high calling angels cannot share. To young and old the gospel gladness bear. Redeem the time, its hours too swiftly fly that draws nigh. Come, labor on, no time for rest, till glows the western sky, till the long shadows o'er our pathway lie. And a glad sound comes with the setting sun, servants, well done. And the people of God said,